realization and the meaning and the purpose. And then, of course, came the temptation. In the temptation, to make a long story short, the Bible says that Adam and Eve went away from God. The result was, among other things, the Jews noted that the beautiful creation that God had built sank back into chaos. Their marriage wasn't as good as it was before. Weeds grew. Work wasn't always so positive. And then their son killed his own brother. Imagine, can you think of greater chaos in a family, in a human's life, than if one of your children were to kill another in anger? And all kinds of other chaos, from disease to war to pollution, you name it, that beautiful, beautiful creation, because of Adam and Eve's sin on our behalf, descended back into the same chaos it had been in before. Now, here's where I found something helpful. One of the phrases used in Jewish thinking, I've had a number of teachers use it that way, for someone who's in chaos, they are called the poor. Now, I tend to think of the poor as people without money. You know, I'm tempted to say school teacher. No, just kidding. People without money, okay? They're the poor. But that's not really accurate from a Jewish point of view. The poor represents anybody in chaos. Somebody with no money that can't find enough to eat, that's chaos. But somebody with no money that has everything they need, that's not chaos. Chaos is people who are sick, people whose marriages are falling apart, people whose minds aren't working just right, people whose business, you know what chaos is. And they noted that in the book of Isaiah, the poor are referred to as the oppressed, the lame, the blind, the deaf, and the speechless. But the Jews, the Essenes, believed that the Spirit of God hovered over the poor, over the chaos, just like it had back at creation. Because someday, the Spirit of God is going to hover, and God is going to act, and God is going to speak. And out of the chaos that's been recreated by Adam and Eve's sin, or decreated by Adam and Eve's sin, out of that chaos will come a new order. Now that seems to me to be one of the contexts of Jesus' baptism. So come with me. That restored order, by the way, they called tikkun olam. Tikkun means to fix. Olam means everything. God would come to fix everything that's messed up because of the chaos. So now come with me. Jesus came down to the river. And among other things, it's not only living water. It's not only the river that brings you into the promised land. To a Jew, the river is also chaos. Okay, it's not the Mississippi, but it's still moving water. And there it is. And I love the fact that in that moving water, into that chaos, Jesus went. Now think about that for a moment. Think about the picture that would be for a Jew. Jesus didn't stand on the bank. He didn't kneel down and scoop up the water. He didn't ask somebody to bucket some out and put it in a pit somewhere. Jesus himself went right down into the water. Now, that may have been for immersion purposes. It may have been the whole idea of like the Israelites crossing through the Jordan. I've read all kinds of good teachings but part of it to a Jew, I've heard this from several of my teachers, is Jesus enters chaos because he sees himself as the one sent by God to enter the chaos of the human race. And there he was. He was going to be hungry. He was going to bleed. He was going to suffer the loss of a best friend who betrayed him. He was going to watch friends of his give up on him. He was going to be put down by people who were leaders, and he was there. Aren't you glad he didn't stand on the bank? Yes. What if he had stayed on the bank and said, "Hey, you guys in chaos, hang in there." He went right into it with us. All the pain, all the hurt. He's been there.